Yeah. No idea what we're going to talk about today. Just hit record. We have nothing, literally nothing. So thanks for being with us.
We've run out of ideas.
Yeah, always. Well, I mean, I'll go first. So since we recorded last week, we were talking about the snow and stuff, right? And then the snow came. That was on a Wednesday. This is on a Wednesday. The snow came on a Friday or Saturday or something. We ended up getting probably, I don't know exactly the total, but it was 5 to 8 inches with a bunch of ice. So it compacted down to about, we have about a 5-inch chunk. It's like an ice sandwich. There's ice on the ground, snow, and then ice on the top. So with the shovel, I can go out there and break it up and pull these big, giant chunks and just like pick them up and toss them out of the way, which is nice, easier for cleanup. But yeah, we have a significant amount of ice. Snow was like not that much, but it hasn't caused many problems here. Everything is just kind of shut down for a few days. But
yeah, we got about 14 inches, maybe more. And the
that's crazy.
The tough thing about it is that it's going to stay cold, so it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Which is really annoying because sometimes it snows within a couple of days, it starts to evaporate. If nothing else helps it, like the weather warming up or the rain, it looks like it's not going to go anywhere. So that's going to be annoying. And I have to walk across the field to the chickens, and the entire walk, it's like stomp. Stomp, stomp, every stomp boot fills up. Even if I have high boots, they fill up. So boo-hoo. Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
If only you had like a truck or a tractor or a
quad,
another truck or another truck.
I could, this is also part of the problem is if I scoop a path to the chicken coop, which is why I don't do it. If I scoop a path to the chicken coop from the house, I let the chickens out. They walk right up the path to the back door and just poop all day long and then go, okay, it's dark out. Let's go back. And then they walk back down the path to the chicken coop. So the snow
what
keeps
if you,
them.
What if you didn't scoop like a straight path? You did a curvy path and right they in the middle of it, you left a little snow wall in between. So they would they'd walk up it and they'd be like, hey, I guess this is the end.
Yeah, they'd be like flat earthers. They'd be like, we've reached the edge. It's not a bad idea. Should do that for the flat earthers. Okay. Push all the snow to an edge and they come up and go, oh, we found it, see?
They'll believe anything.
David, what about you? You got your heating fixed, I assume.
Yes. Yeah. Luckily, it got fixed sooner than scheduled because somebody canceled. And it turns out it was the igniter. And it costs like $350 for the guy to replace it. And then I look on Home Depot after he left, and igniters are like $25. And,
they say you don't pay him for his physicality, you pay him for his years of experience.
I have no problem paying somebody to do something that I just have no desire to do. So yeah. I wouldn't have known to look. I probably could have looked up some YouTube videos, but it could have turned, you know how when you don't know what the problem is and it turns into something that you get it all tore apart and then you're in a place where you can't get it back together. I just didn't want to deal with it. I'd rather have an expert come out and just fix it.
We had a similar thing. So we moved into this house, which was about, I think about 8 years ago now, we bought a new washer and dryer because we were moving up here. So we sold the ones down in Savannah. So they've been great, you know, since then. And then over the last maybe 3 years, the dryer like stopped drying as well, you know. And so then I replaced the heating elements. It's like the first thing you do. And then it kind of worked for a while and it stopped again. And so I've replaced, I don't know, 4 or 5 things on this, like all the things that you can replace. And then recently it just wasn't heating it. You could tell that it was running. It felt like there was heat coming out of the vent, but nothing was actually drying. And so I was like, you know what? We have 6 people in our house, a ridiculous amount of laundry, and it just constantly piles up because of this thing not drying things fast enough. So this was Black Friday because I found a deal on a dryer immediately at Lowe's, ordered it. It gets delivered. Or I had to go pick it up and I pull it back to the house. I go to pull the old dryer out And I've already got the new dryer at the house, right? Unloaded from the trailer, pulled up to the door where we can lift it inside. I go to pull the old one out and I unplug it and I look at the socket and the socket is like burnt. I'm like, oh, I bet the socket is the problem.
Have you been getting sure partial enough, electrical?
Yeah. Turned off the power. I was getting half the power because it's a, you know, I was getting one leg. So of course it's not going to dry. But at that point, I've like already got the new one, which was on sale. It was a really good price. And the old one is already like pulled out. The room is rearranged so that we can swap them and have enough room to carry them in and out. And I'm just like, I don't want to mess with this anymore. So I just took the old one, which is probably fine at this point. And I had to replace the socket and everything. I did that. And then the new one works fine. And I was just like, man, what do I do with the, you know, and it was one little problem that was hidden behind other things that I thought, well, I've fixed everything I can fix. And the problem wasn't actually with the thing. So we just donated it so somebody else could use it. But yeah, kind of the same thing.
Yep. It's always something.
Kind of not the same thing, but.
It's always something.
So since last week when we talked about the snow and everything, I was in a place where I had finished the next video that's going to come out, the Transformer I was telling you guys about, which is still coming out. I decided to only do one video in January, just like not push it. No reason to try to fit another one in and just spread them out. Which means I have the next one done, and then the next two or three are all things that I have to wait on parts for, or wait on siding for the pool house, or I'm planning, or something like that. So I really can't do anything. This past week, I have not had anything that I could accomplish as far as videos. And so it's been really weird to have an entire week. Granted, we played in the snow and stuff too, but to have an entire week where it was like, sit down at the desk and go, okay, what can I do? Like, what?
There's always something to do, Bob.
Well, that's, yeah, I know. And so I have these paper lists, you know, on my desk that are constantly just things to shoot and things to update and things to whatever. But it's been really weird to not make anything on video for a solid week. And really, I'm not going to be able to because of the weather and stuff for the next week-ish, probably. The things that I have planned, I could come up with something, but it's like, I've already got the plan. I've already got the stuff on order. But it's kind of weird to have it's weird to have the time to take care of all the little things that you don't have time to take care of. You know what I mean? You have this list of like, yeah, if I had free time, I'd clean up that or I would organize this. Now it's like, oh, do I really want to organize that thing? Or But so I've been trying to like get those little things off the list, which is nice and good, but weird. So I've been productive, but not really been productive at the same time.
The snow slowed me down for sure. And then, oh, just talk about how a little thing, the heat in the horse barn or the leather shop didn't work. I went out there and it was off and I tried restarting it and it's a new unit. I don't really know the unit very well. So I couldn't figure out how to start the unit. So I called my plumber, Jonah, nice guy. And he was there immediately because he lives right nearby. So he popped over and he couldn't figure it out either. And we got it. He goes, okay, well, let's turn it back on. So he was able to get it restarted based on his knowledge. And 2 hours later, I called him. I was like, the heat is off again, just so you know, because it's a new system. So he wants to be conscientious that it's going to continue to work forever. He installed it. So he came right over and I was there helping him and trying to figure out what it was. He's like, it's boggling my mind. And he's like, let me check the intake. And he goes outside the house and comes back in with the intake hood, holding it in his hand. And the bottom of it was solid ice. He goes, there's a problem. Wasn't getting it fresh air from outside. And the fire was getting stifled. Who knew? It's a downspout that faces down, but it sucks air in. So in the heat of the storm in the midst of the storm with the snowflakes blowing, it must have just built up. It had like a pencil hole in it for intake. It should have been, it's like 7-inch diameter grill covered with ice except for one pencil hole. So it's always something stupid. You never know. It's always something stupid. So I had that, but in general, I did have one pipe freeze in the house, which was fun because it froze in the middle of the day we had water in the morning, and then in the afternoon, suddenly everything stopped working. But I went down and I found the wind had shifted and popped open a window. I told the story before we started, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell it again.
It was before we started.
Yeah. So the wind shifted and popped open a little piece of insulation in the foundation wall that would have otherwise been a window. And that little sliver of breeze was blowing directly on a pipe that feeds the whole house. And so I just put the heater on underneath it. And a few minutes later, the water began to flow again. But it's just, if you don't know any better, if you don't know where to look, that could be a visit from an expert, which is kind of annoying. But this weekend was a metalworking class at the Blackthorn, AKA Maker Camp. And I went and did the metalworking class. It was great. I learned a lot of techniques about sheet metal bending and stuff. And I put up an Instagram video of me making a cup. That was my goal, was to, you see these guys make a cup out of a flat sheet and boggles my mind. But the teacher taught me a few techniques, and Curtis was his name. I'll mention his Instagram at the end. I'll make sure I get it right. And Curtis was the teacher. He comes to Maker Camp every year. And so that was fun. And then I have already put out 4 videos in January, believe it or not. So I'm going to take a break this weekend. I'm not going to make a video. So I'm just catching up on stuff. When I made my video a couple weeks ago where I made the resin covered manhole covers, a lot of people were asking me. So I went to Home Depot. I bought a couple $100 worth of MDF, and I made 24 or 25 manhole covers since last week. It takes 3 hours to CNC each one. So I just set it up and walk around and forget about it, and then come and cut it off and switch the wood. So I've made about 20, 23 or 24 in the last week, just slowly changing that out, letting the machine run all the time. Machine's done great. Hasn't had any problems. The Onefinity. And just in between painting them and getting them prepped, they ordered some shipping boxes. So as soon as everything's ready to ship, I'll announce those. I'll sell those directly from my Instagram page. So I've been doing that and mentally preparing for a couple of big projects. Also worked on the tow truck. Dave from DTB. Thanks, Dave. Dave helped me get the new bearings in the rear axle brake drums. So I got that put back together, and that now I went to go put the tires back on, but the tires are buried under 3 feet of snow in the backyard. So I'll get that. So the tow truck's going to be mobile any minute now. And what else am I working on? Just prepping. I'm going to start making my go-kart going into the winter, just so it's ready in the spring. I'm going to make a 1920s open wheel racer with an electric motor. So I'm going to learn about how to put the electric motor in. My friend's going to help me with that. My friend Matt at Spark, he makes electric scooters. He came to Maker Camp this year. And that's what I've been up to. It turns out we might actually have another snowstorm.
I saw that. It looks like you all are going to get all of that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I also hear that there's a potential for another polar vortex, whatever the heck that is, that's going to make February super cold.
Oh,
it sounds like a frozen drink at Taco Bell. That's what that sounds like to me.
Right.
It does. It's the new Mountain Dew slushy.
Yeah.
The polar vortex.
The polar vortex blast.
With Oreos.
With Oreos.
Yeah.
Nasty. Well, David, have you been doing anything? You've been working on anything?
I have. So, I started this project. I found the exact VCR that I had back in the 90s, and it was by a brand called Gold Star. I worked at Kmart, so I got a discount on things. And so I found the exact VCR from the 90s, and I wanted to recase it. And this would be kind of like a part one, and then recasing a TV for it would be part two, and then a whole like stand and this like space age looking like thing all that would like live as one thing. And this particular VCR is real simple. The front panel is real simple. It's got like 7 or 8 buttons, and it's pretty flat, where a lot of the designs from that era could be complicated and lots of curves. And I thought, this is going to be real easy to make.
Yeah, that looks like more of a modern. I remember like when that look started coming out, it was like sexy and sleek.
Yeah. And the door mechanism is really complicated. And I can redo it, but it slowed me down. So the door swings open so you can put the tape in. And then when the tape is in, the door closes, but the door also opens back up when the tape is ejected.
Oh.
And so there's this crazy like mechanism that connects to the chassis that allows the door to, and, I have to figure out if I want to design so it works like that, or if I make a door that maybe just swings both ways. And so it's kind of slowed me down on what I want to do for this. But, and I apologize for people not being able to see, but this particular VCR made by Goldstar, and like, who knows who Goldstar is, there's a bottom panel that just pops off. So it's all serviceable. And so you can get to the belts. So it was just two screws and you can get to the bottom, which I thought was great. Like, nothing is made this way anymore. But then, and then the top where the tape drops in, you can see all the cool gears and stuff. So
that is
for the
so
case,
much more complicated than I would have expected. VCR.
Yeah.
Wow.
So for the case, I'm going to make some see-through parts so you can see the working mechanism and the tape drop in. And, it's going to be really cool, but it has really, it's more complicated than I expected. Mm. So that project is going to take a little bit longer than I anticipated. So I needed to get a video done in the meantime. So we went to the Goodwill. We found three pieces of ugly, kitschy art that we are redoing. So I got these three pieces of art and I'm remaking them, but more cool, I guess. Hmm. So that's what we're working on.
Nice. Well, that's cool. Well, we didn't really have anything to talk about, like any topics, unless, is there anything going on like with that? Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, Jimmy mentioned something about Snow Day and you're not currently working on anything. Like,
yeah.
What do you do on a snow? Jimmy, what do you do on a snow day? Do you work or do you take a day off?
Of course he does.
No, of course he does. I definitely worked on snow day. I came outside. Oh, so I don't know if I finished my sentence. The metal class was supposed to go Saturday and Sunday, but the snow hit us here on Sunday. So we just ended the metal class on Saturday night, and Sunday everybody was just off doing their own thing, watching the snow fall. Snow fell all day long. And on a day like that, I made my way out to the shop and I say, now I have no excuses. That was a day. I think I put Dave helped me put the wheel bearings in. And then, Sunday I just hung around the shop, but Sunday I just hung around the house, at Rachel. There was nothing to do. I actually didn't even leave the house. I never even went outside. I went out Monday morning. I was like, okay, I wasted the entire day on Sunday not being productive, but get this some quality time, me and Rachel. So on Monday, I went out and I confronted the world. I put on my high boots and I went out and had to deal with the chickens. I went out to the shop. I started seeing manhole covers, but it's those days where, and then also digging out the car. Thankfully my good buddy comes and does the plowing for me. He's a community minded guy. He's got a plow truck and he plows like 10 driveways. And the snow kept coming down all day long. He kept coming through. He came through like five times. He was out here plowing until like 9 o'clock at night. He just kept passing through. He kept making the rounds. He'd go from house to house to house to just keep clearing people's driveways. So shout out to my buddy Eli for doing that. And, it's the day where you look around and you go, what can I do that I otherwise wouldn't want to do? Organize, clean up, put away screwdrivers. The tow truck is a magnet for tools. All around the tow truck, there is screwdrivers, socket wrenches, extensions, pry bars, hammers, hammers with soft ends, hammers with copper ends, hammers with lead ends, hammers with steel ends. So I put a lot of the tools away around the tow truck. And every time you hit the tow truck or bang something or wrench something, about 2 pounds of rust falls out of it. So at any given moment, there's just a giant haze of rust around the truck. So I swept up all the rust and just preparing, mentally preparing to get it ready to be put back outside eventually. A lot of sawdust from the CNC, even though I do run the vacuum. Vacuum doesn't help tremendously. It helps a lot, but it doesn't help completely is really what I meant to say. So then I went up to the leather shop. Monday night is when the heat went out in the leather shop. So yesterday we were fixing that. Yeah, it's just one of those days where you got to open up the notebook and say, what can I start mentally thinking on? I did shovel my car out. Like I said, Eli came through, cleaned the driveway, but then I had to shovel the car out, which was no fun. Oh, and then when I got my car and Rachel's car moved out of the way, I got the tractor started and I was able to scoop out. Because I just made literally just a path, like a 10-inch wide path to the doors of the cars. But then once I was able to move them, and then I plowed the rest of it out. What, Dave?
You may finish your thought. I have maybe a direction where this could go.
Go for it, because I don't think I think I'm done.
Okay. Let's say we had a snow month, like a hypothetical, and you wanted to organize more. What would you do if you were going to organize more? Because while you were talking, I was thinking, like, I'm trying to get the shop a little bit more organized so the new guy knows where things go. And some drawers are going to have, and I already have, like a, you know, like a hammer can only go in this spot because it's carved out of foam and that. But some drawers are just, it's a place where corded tools go or sanding supplies or small jigs. And I just thought, you know what? What if I named each drawer with a letter or a number, and then each tool or each jig or whatever had that letter on there? And then, you know, he knows exactly where it's like, I need to do that. I can do that pretty quickly. A code system.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
And so now I'm like wondering, if you had infinite time, what would you do to organize to get better?
Well, I know for me, I started writing down while Jimmy was talking things that I actually did over this last week. And a lot of the things that I organized were downstream from a piece of work. And so I think to answer your question, even though there are tons of drawers and tons of things that would be, you know, that could use improvement, I really only attack them when there's something, they're in the way of something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I went to, Autodesk put out an update of Fusion like last week or something like that. And it changed, it really didn't change anything drastic, but it changed a display, a menu of how you start a new file. And if you open a new file that way, the interface looks different. And so the people that were taking our course got this update, not knowing that it was an update. And then they started leaving comments like, why is this wrong? This is a brand new update to the course. Why is it wrong? And I'm like, well, here's what they did. And then I realized, well, I should shoot a video that to stick in the course that explains the change and how you work around it so that the rest of the course is fine. Okay, cool. Well, to do that little update video that's like a minute long, I had to go in and clean out some of the studio in my lab area where all my 3D printers, that's like my studio now. And I leave the camera and the lights all set up. But I had to go in and kind of adjust things so that I could record that. And so I was doing that. And then while I was in there doing that, I'm like, well, it would be easier to move around in here if this, my big 36 inch plotter printer thing was actually over there. And if I do that, then that means I have to move this thing. And I have another printer coming next week, so I need to make a spot for it that goes right there. And so it ended up being, you know, downstream of to be able to get one small thing done.
Rearrange
everything. I found ways to do a bunch of other things that made the whole room better. Not necessary, but it's better now. Then I recorded the thing and realized that the microphone was wrong and I couldn't figure out why the microphone was sounded different than it used to sound. And so Forby and I spent a long time doing tests and all this stuff. Then I realized that it should be hanging from the ceiling over me instead of on a stand. I don't know how I made that change. But then it was like, okay, how do I make that happen again? How do I put the microphone back? What sort of clip do I need to mount the thing? and run the cable, you know. And so it was all because Autodesk decided to change a menu. I had to do all this stuff. But it was all downstream of a little piece of work that I needed to do. And because of that, I'm still not even done with it because, like I said, I have another printer coming. I'm getting a Formlabs printer for some upcoming stuff. I'm really excited about it, but it's got like multiple units that have to fit like cleaning and UV and stuff. So I had to find room for those and they have to be in a place in that room that don't mess up the studio setting, right? Like, so I can't just like plop it on a shelf. It needs to make that as a visual studio background. It has to improve it, not make it worse. So that meant moving some other things around, planning for future changes in there and storage. And then I started thinking about like filament storage. What am I going to do with all the filament? And so it led me down a bunch of different paths. Some of the work I've done, some of it is still just planning.
With the Formlabs, you're going to have tanks and resin tanks.
Yeah.
Every time you change, you have two tanks, the one that goes in the bottom and then one that goes in the back. So you need a library room. You need room for the library of different resins you're going to use.
Yeah. So trying to adjust for all that. But anyway, all that to answer your question, for me, at least this week, that type of organization, I have a really hard time just like randomly pointing at a drawer and being like, let's go fix that. You know, if it will make something else very easy or is in the way of me doing something that is on my list or something that I, you know, really want to knock out, then I will dig in and organize whatever. But I wish that I could start at one end of the shop and just be like, we're going to organize everything in the way all the way across the shop because that would make the entire thing better. But at the same time, I realize about myself that I enjoy changing the setup all the time. I enjoy changing how things are and where things are so that they're more like, I don't know, timely to how I'm doing or what I'm doing now. And so I like things to be flexible and move around a lot, but that means that I can't do one side to the other because then next time I needed to make a change, I would have to do one side to the other of the shop. And that's not realistic every time. So I just try to keep everything kind of flexible enough so that I can rearrange this right here today. And then the next time when I need to do something, I can rearrange that thing, you know? So that's my answer to your question.
Another thing to do on a snow day is to make sure all your tabletops aren't crowded with junk. That's typically when I'm cleaning up, I just look in the room and I say, why is there stuff on every tabletop?
That's my whole house.
Yeah, I look around and I'm like, can't there just be an open space to think? And when I look at the shop, I look back on during the snow days, first thing I said to myself, and I'm just sort of just becoming more conscious to me now while we're talking, is can I just clear off the tabletops? Did you see a post recently? It was very funny. He's like, I finally did it. It's a guy, cameras panning the room. He goes, I finally did it. I've covered every single open space with something. Because I put a tool in every single square inch of open space in my shop is covered with something. Finally, that happens pretty quick. That's not something you really have to work at.
Yeah.
And I added a new table. Oh, Dave's on mute. But recently I added a new table. And I think to myself, now this table's covered with stuff. So I have three fairly large tables in my shop. They're all 4x8.
Time for another table.
How can this table be covered with stuff? I punish myself. I'm like, this table can't be covered with stuff. It's okay for those two original tables to be covered with stuff, but this brand new table? And that's the table that I want to start my go-kart project on. And I really had to have this little heart-to-heart with myself. It's like, now, Jimmy, you realize when you put the go-kart on there, it's going to be on there for months, and you won't be able to use it as a resting spot for everything else. So when you put the go-kart on there, it's going to have to stay presentation-wise. It's going to be there for a long time until you finish this object, or at least until I have the frame built and whatever. And I really had to have that little sit-down with myself. And I said, I'm not sure if I'm ready.
How did you take it when you talked to yourself?
I'm not sure I'm ready for it. I'm not sure I'm ready to dedicate this table to just this frame and wheel setup. But I think I'm going to do it. I talked to myself, and we made a decision that we're going to do it.
Okay. I'm glad you all could agree.
No, I have to. I have to. Sometimes these projects linger and you think of every excuse to not start them. And then you realize it's this 2 feet of snow outside, the doorbells, I mean, the phone's not ringing, no one's visiting. There's not even a car making a sound out in the street because it's one of those days. And you're like, I have no excuse to not at least begin to start to think about starting to begin this project.
Say that again.
Say that title again.
Yeah.
I have no excuse to not start to think about wanting to begin to start this project.
Okay.
Yeah, that
way too long. Way too long for a title, but cool.
Starting to think about wanting to begin.
It is weird.
There's a great George Carlin bit about, it goes on for like 5 minutes about, the only reason we have a house is it's just a place to put our stuff.
Yep.
And we need more places to put more stuff so we can get more stuff. And it's perfect because it is 100% true. The bigger the aquarium, the bigger the fish will grow.
Yep.
Yep. Somebody, who was I watching recently that talked about that? Oh, well, okay. So Johnny Brook is moving back. He's selling his big shop building that he's been renovating for years. And he is moving back to his garage and redoing that as like a smaller shop. And I was watching that video where he's talking about the move and stuff. And he made some comment to that effect, like, you know, as you get a big shop, you're just going to fill it up thinking that you have all this space. And then eventually you're going to run out of space and you're just going to need more space for more stuff. But he decided actively to go the other direction and just like get rid of the things and only keep what he could fit
into.
He's insane.
I think it's, I mean, you know, I'm sure there are several reasons for doing it, but I think it's a really smart thing to do.
Yeah.
I think it's just so much less to manage. I mean, even from me moving from two locations back to just my house it was a pain in the butt to get rid of the stuff that we had at the building, which wasn't even like a shop, you know, but it was still stuff. But even paring that down to be able to go back to one space was a pain, but it is so much nicer to have everything in one spot, which some Jimmy would not understand anymore because he has 300 shops. But having everything in one place and even still wanting to pare that down more and, you know, kind of streamline it and just have less, I'm actually really enjoying that part of it. But
well, I often think about having less stuff to worry about and think about. But then I often lived a life of, hey, this is it. Might as well just enjoy myself and not be overly concerned about where everything is. In my life, I've really let go of this notion that I can control and know where everything is. I'm actually old enough now where I find things that I bought and I don't remember buying them. And I go, oh, this is cool. What is this from?
Some really smart, good-looking guy must have bought this thing.
And there's something exciting about that. It's like finding $15 in your pocket. I'll find like a tool and I'm thinking to myself, I have absolutely no recollection of this coming into my life, but this is really cool. I'm glad I just rediscovered this. And that's the consequence of having three locations and too much junk. So you rediscover. Rob will remember this one time we were all, me and Rob, typically in the flea market season, which is here in New York, April to October, the flea market is every Sunday, the one we always go to. And sometimes there's a rain day or whatever. And this one particular day, we were all excited. We meet at 8 a.m. and we drive to the flea market together. And this one particular day, the flea market was closed because of weather. And so we were both still needed that fix. So we went back to the big workshop down the street and we just started poking around. And we found a box full of axe heads and sledgehammer heads and stuff.
Started selling stuff to each other. You're like, hey,
yeah, I set up a little table and I sold everything to him. No, but we basically went picking in my own backyard. We went picking in my garage and it was something very funny about it. I'm like, here we are. We just needed that fix. And we just went looking at the stuff that I already owned, got all excited about finding things I hadn't seen in a long time. Yeah, there's something wrong with me. I know. It's okay.
There's something wrong with all of us. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, so a couple other things that I did that are a different topic altogether, but my youngest has been wanting to make a Roman short sword for a while.
Uh-huh.
He just likes to play still, and so I want to support that in every way possible. And so he's been wanting, he laid out paper and a couple of pieces of paper, taped them together, and then drew out the profile of this little short sword that he wanted a long time ago. And so he's been asking for a while, and we just never have time. And so finally, last week one time, he was like, hey, can we go cut this out? Like, yes, finally, let's go do it. So we went down, and I showed him how to use the bandsaw, and I sent you guys a video of it, I think. But he was like a natural with using the bandsaw to cut along the line of this. And so he cut out the profile of the sword, and I helped him a little bit for the small detail stuff, but he got this cut out. So then that was always the time we had for that day. And then last night he wanted to work on it again. And so I showed him how to use like a rasp to start knocking down the edges. And so he did some shaping there, and then he used a spindle sander to start smoothing that out, and then hand sanded it. And this is out of plywood. It's not going to be a finished nice thing. He just wants something to play around with his friends. So he got it like relatively smooth and in shape last night, and then was like, okay, so I'd like to engrave the blade like with the pattern and stuff. And I'm like, buddy, that's not a skill that I have that I can do very well. And, you know, and he's like, well, okay. I'm like, wait a minute, let's figure out how to do this. So here's what I told him we'll do. So I drew a line down the center of the blade on one side, and I explained this to him. But I'm like, why don't you hand draw half of the design that you want on this side of the line, right? So do all your little squiggles and whatever shapes you want, everything all the way up. And then I'll take a picture of it. We'll mirror it so it's symmetrical across the blade.
Yeah.
And then we'll put that in, I'll digitize that, we'll put it in the laser, and then we'll laser that pattern in it, and then we'll flip the blade over and laser it in the other side, and then you'll have your engraving. And he was like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Now, then can we fill it with red resin? And I'm like, well, let's take it one step at a time.
One step at a
time. You're like thinking all the things you want to do. I'm not sure if I have time for that.
Well, and also it's weird because, you know, of course I want him to have the experience of doing this stuff himself. So I'm like, I showed him how to use the saw on one little section, and then he used it for the rest of it. I showed him how to use the sander and technique and stuff, and then he did it. But the part of me that's like, you know, move kind of thing, I just want to like take it and like sand it right smooth and do it the right way. But I want him to do it. I want him to have
my favorite part of the story is how you expose what your kryptonite is. Present Dad with a problem, and Dad can't help but fix the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is a thing. But anyway, so we worked on that a little bit, and then he took it up last night while we watched a movie, and he was sitting down there watching the movie and kind of scribbling little, you know, etching marks on it. That was pretty cool. So I did some of that. I got some really, this was a first. I got an email from Zach Hips. So from Bite Size Engineering, you guys know Zach, you've met Zach before.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he got my plugin for Fusion, the VX plugin, and he sent me an email with some feedback. And it was really cool to, like, Zach's great anyway, but it was really cool to get feedback from somebody that was using something I made and be like, hey, this is how I would use it. What about making this change for this reason? Great suggestion, made a lot of sense, but it wasn't something that anytime you get feedback on something software wise, the person is looking at it from their use case only. But when you're developing anything, a website, whatever, you have to look at all of the use cases, as many as you can consider, so that if you make a change, it doesn't negatively affect other people. And so anyway, he gave a suggestion, and then I spent some time trying to figure out a good way to accomplish it and what it would affect as far as the other users of the thing. But it was, it ended up being a good thing, an update that I'm going to push soon. But it was really cool to get that feedback loop of like, this would improve it in my mind, and then me take that and try to consider it and adjust it so that it would improve it for everybody and not just him, improve it for me, still do what I wanted it to do. And so that was a cool little thing that I did over a couple days. And then the other thing is, did I mention the puppy on here, the last show? I know I've told you guys about it, but did I mention it on the show?
Not sure. Wait, that's the puppy with the photography team?
Yeah.
Yes. Every time Bob sends a picture, I got to like look for the watermark from Hallmark.
I don't remember if I said this last week, so apologies if I did, but we
asked ChatGPT to make a cute puppy picture.
We started fostering a puppy, it's been a week and a half now, and it was like the kids were at school. Jenny and I went and picked up this puppy and we were like, yeah, we'll just foster it for the weekend and see if it works. And then we still have the dog, obviously. And he's super cute and he's a good dog who really likes to annoy our older dogs. And
so he's a good boy.
He's a good boy. It's been really funny to watch him irritate the older dogs who are not really old. They're just older and they're like me and my brother. Cause my brother's 8 years older than me. And so I remember being the 9-10 year old kid who was irritating this almost adult who he couldn't fight me like an adult, you know, because I was a kid and I just picked at him and messed with him all the time and broke his stuff. And he just kind of had to sit there and put up with it. And so I'm seeing that play out in my dogs, which is really funny. Anyway, this little cute puppy, does not have a name, and we've been struggling with a name the whole time. Get the whole family together, you know, for meals. And we're like, okay, here's the name list. We plop down this paper with 1,000 names. We vote through them and cut the list down and then cut the list down again. And nobody can really decide on anything. And then the next day it's like, okay, here's 20 more new names. And we always keep adding names and we just cannot get to a name. And having a hard time with it. But that's where we've spent a lot of our time. So if you have any cool dog name suggestions, let me know.
I gave you my suggestion.
I don't Pachuto. Remember what was it. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I did tell Jenny that. She didn't say anything, so I don't know. But I tried. Yeah. So that's really what I've been up to is, you know, the puppy is taking a huge amount of time too. And that was one of our big concerns with getting it. And we talked to the kids about it. We were like, this cannot be all mom and dad's work. Like this has, we all have to agree as a family that everybody's willing to put in the work and help. And they are right now. Jenny's at an appointment. I'm doing this and kids are up keeping the dog quiet and entertained and stuff. But they are a lot of work. I forgot having a puppy is.
I have my two Yorkies right now and they're barking in the other room while we're here, contemplating going in there and grabbing them. Because I usually lock them up when there's activity in the house. When there's no activity in the house, they let them roam free.
But, yeah.
Because people step on them. You know, not everybody is a dog person.
Right.
My housekeeper's coming today and Rachel's walking around, so I got them locked up. But they're 13 and 9.
Mm. And what are their names?
Chippy and Pepper. Pepper is now about 13 and she is totally blind. And she has congestive heart failure. And so she's coughing and sniffling and coughing. And she's generally happy though. She doesn't really realize what's going on, but she's not incapacitated. She moves around, but very slowly because she doesn't want to bump into stuff. And then when she's hungry, she wants to eat right there and then. So she starts yipping and yapping. And if you give her food and she doesn't feel like she's had enough, she'll start yipping and yapping. So it is a good sign.
Like, I mean, I'm the same way, to be honest. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And Chippy's pretty good. Chippy's relaxed, but he starts getting yippy when she gets yippy. So it never ends.
Yeah.
It's like having kids, I guess. Right, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not really.
Yeah, with a question mark.
You can't, well, you obviously can't put kids in a crate for 2 hours while you do your podcast.
I mean, not legally.
Yeah.
Names and the difference hard. Is that you can talk a kid down if, you know, something's going on with the dog. Like, yeah, I don't know. You can't. But that's where I've been spending a lot of my time recently is in that stuff. And I did find out this morning that the siding for the pool house came in, which means I can now jump on actually doing some work, except for the fact that there's like 5 or 6 inches of snow up against the building that I have to put the siding on. So I've got to figure that out. Oh, speaking of, here's another little thing. So in the last video I put out, there were, I did the soffits and then around the building, and then I did tongue and groove on the overhang roof part. It's just all outside. It's a lean-to style roof over the pool equipment. So I put tongue and groove in there, top to bottom, and a bunch of the comments pointed out that like there was no venting in that. It was, you know, the other side has soffit vents in it, so it would, air would be able to move through there and you wouldn't have mold problems as it heated up and stuff. But the tongue and groove side doesn't have that. And I didn't even consider that. I just didn't think about it. And so a bunch of comments said, you know, you really need to add venting to that. And so I started thinking about it and I'm like, well, if you vent it, every, the tongue and groove goes horizontally across. The rafters go vertically, which means you would have to vent basically every channel in between the rafters.
Mm.
So you'd have to put a vent all the way across the bottom and then all the way across the top. But then the one across the top is facing down. And I wasn't sure how that was going to vent. So I started looking it up and, of course, found conflicting information on that. Like, yes, you absolutely have to vent it. Other people are like, it's... And they were talking about porches because it's basically the same style. It's like a porch roof. And they're like, it's a porch roof. There's no ridge vent. There's no venting above it. So there's nowhere for the air to go. So why would you add venting to the bottom? Because, you know, and so like I looked for a couple of days just trying to figure out what is the best thing to do. Because in the next video, I can point that out. Comments are great. Appreciate it. Here's an improvement I can make. And so I got stuck. And so I messaged Kyle, from RR Buildings. And I haven't talked to him in a really long time, so I felt kind of bad. But I sent him a message, briefly explained what the deal was. And I was like, if you have, I know you're busy. If you have any time to just give me a yes, no, do, don't kind of thing, I'd appreciate it. Didn't expect to hear back from him for a long time. Immediately got a response back and he was like, if it doesn't vent out the top, there's no sense in venting it at all. Plus it's outside. It's not going to matter. It's going to get hot. Cool. I will take your word over everybody else's word.
Oh yeah.
I'm just like, done. It was awesome. And then we talked a little bit after that. He was super helpful with explaining it, that it really wasn't a big deal. And I do understand the impulse by people though. And I think adding vents to it probably would be a good idea just for the general moisture in that space. But that air, from what he was saying and from what, how I understand, that air is going to like heat and cool with the air around it, which is just going to be all over the place throughout the year anyway. And it's not trapped. It's not sealed. I mean, there is a gap around the outside with the fascia, you know, like the material coming around it. So it was, I'm glad people brought it up because it did make me consider and like look into how to do it. But when somebody like Kyle says that something's okay, then.
Yeah, he's really the end all.
Yeah.
But doing a roof like that is just, there's so many complex decisions to be made. And they change. They seem to change from year to year. Every time there's a trade show, there's a new way to do it. Or there's a new technique. So it is complicated. I would never build a roof on camera.
Oh, yeah.
That way, just,
well, I mean, too late.
No. I mean, but you're taking the right approach, but I would never do it. I never build a roof just because I don't like being that high up. But
yeah,
in general, just this is too many things to not know for me.
And that's how it felt going into it. Yeah. And I still don't feel like I know it all. But I was able to kind
of
get through a piece at a time, you know, to get it done. And so, and there are definitely things that I look back at it now. Now that I've had comments from people, and I go, oh yeah, I should have done that differently, but. The trade-off of you know, the risk and the time and the cost of undoing something to be able to make the improvement suggested in the comments, like those are not the same weight. Like, yeah, it would have been cool if I'd done this, but like, there's no way I'm going to undo it all just for this one. One thing that somebody did say the other day is that when I put the metal roof down, I put in the screws, you know, along the flange so that standing seam is there's a flange on one side with holes. you put screws through those, and then on the other side of it, you lock in the next piece, and then you put screws in that one. So every piece of roof has screws on one side, and it's locked in on the other side, basically. Mm-hmm. And so that's all the way across. And at the bottom, where it overhangs the bottom of the roof, and it hangs off the side, all of those pieces had a little bit of bow in them. They bowed up. And I couldn't figure out how to get them to pull down flat, no matter how much I pulled them. They just really wanted to lift. And then I got to thinking, like, maybe that actually doesn't matter because it's going to force the water, if it's not flat, it forces the water into the trough, which makes it goes down, and it should be fine. So I just kind of left it as is. One of the comments made the point that if there's wind that comes up underneath those and they are not secured down, the wind will, if it's really strong, will eventually get underneath them enough to either blow stuff under them or lift the panel and bend the panel, which I had not considered. And their suggestion was just put a screw at the bottom right in the middle of the panel to flatten it down and keep it all in place. I'm like, oh, like that's simple, yeah, but very helpful, you know? And that's just something I didn't even consider. I just didn't. So the comments have actually been really, really cool on almost all of those videos. I mean, on all the videos, but almost all of the comments have been really cool. and very helpful. And that makes doing, to your point of like not doing a roof on camera, not doing anything like that on camera, it's made me a little bit less hesitant to do that type of stuff because the comments have been really productive and constructive and helpful and stuff. So.
And the great thing about all of this is you made it, so you know how everything was put together. If you need to make a modification in the future, you know, you can do it, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe a super simple fix, you'll probably never need it, but maybe a super simple fix is just put in an attic fan. And,
right.
But you won't know until you get a couple summers in there.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, like, I'm never going to open that up. Not that I want mold in it, obviously, but I'm never going to look in that space. There's no reason to, you know, so even if there is something in there other than it just damaging the wood around it, I wouldn't know that until the damage was so severe that, yeah, I guess I got to rebuild that section of the roof, you know, which would be a bummer. But so anyway, it was very cool to get Kyle's expertise on that. And so thanks to that, if he happens to be listening. We've talked about nothing for a very long time. You guys got anything else you want to talk about?
Dave, did you see the comment I put under your shoe rack video?
I did. I read it out loud to Kelly. So, I am totally down. So,
are you really?
I'll
send them to you. I'll get your address. I'll send them to you. They're a little beat up from sitting around, but
I'll take it. Yeah. Is it like a year long project?
It's a long term project. You can do it faster.
Share this with the rest of us.
Oh, sorry.
Who didn't see the comment.
So I watched Dave's video making the shoe rack at the lake house, and it just, I was like, he needs to make a boat. He needs to make a lake boat. And the lake boat that I made is called the Rice Lake Skiff. It's a kit. Well, you could buy the kit, and the kit basically just consists of wood long enough to make the boat. That's all a kit is. It's just supply enough, because most people wouldn't have a table saw that has a 16 foot in feed and a 16 foot out feed. So you could buy the tube of wood from Bear Mountain Boats, or you could buy the plans for like $100. But I have the plans. I'll just roll them up and send them to you. But they're beat up from glue and stuff. But everything is there. You just follow the plans. And then there's lots of stuff left up to you as the artist. The majority of how the boat stations are built and everything, you follow those plans and you get the same, the bow and the stern and the sides of everything, or basically the boat. And then you do the details yourself. So it's really left up to the interpretation of the artist. And I think you would really have fun with it.
Yeah.
And the patterns of how you would, if you were going to rip your own wood, I use all the wood from my porch. So my boat's a little bit heavier than it should be. I did not use cedar. I ended up using this Doug fir from my porch. So my boat's a little heavy, but it still floats and still works. And all the pieces from my porch, nothing was longer than 7 or 8 feet. So every strip has a scarf joint in it somewhere. So I would have had, just to make sure that I use recycled wood. But if you get this boat is 13, 14 feet long. So if you had material 14 feet long, you wouldn't have to make that scarf joint, which would make things go faster.
Okay. You know? Any specialized tools?
No, it's all hand planes. I've been to a couple of these boat roundups for Bear Mountain Boats. And the most amazing thing is people come with boats on their car and you start talking to people on the roof of their car. They have their canoe or in the lake. The last one I went to was by a lake. And the most incredible, beautiful handmade boats. And you say, what have you made before? This is the first thing I've ever made by hand. This is the first time I've ever done this. Mm-hmm. So many people make a boat or a canoe first time ever. They figured I wanted to challenge myself. And it's incredible how if you focus on it. I even met a young lady when we did that roundup. I met a young lady there with her canoe. And she says, I built this because you built yours. And I've never built anything. And she was young. She was like 19 with her mom. Beautiful canoe. So it's not that complicated. It's just tedious. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. But I think you would really have fun with it. You could put your own flair into some of the details. I think it would be really nice. And it's a huge challenge if you really want to get a education in woodworking. Because there is a little bit of steam bending involved. Not a lot, but anyway, you could watch my video, but there's other videos and other stills I could send you.
When I read it out loud, Kelly said, will Nick and Jimmy come and help?
I could ask.
That's cool.
I could ask, yeah. No, I think you would have fun, but you'd have to dedicate, you know, the footprint for a while, because what you need to do is you need to build the strong back. The strong back is this box tube that's 15 feet long, and then on it you put your stations. And then on the stations you glue the strips, and then you build up. And then you epoxy the outside with mesh, and you clean it up, and then you pop it off, you flip it over, get rid of the strong back, and then you epoxy the inside, and then you do the details of the woodwork.
When you mentioned that in the comment, I was like, you know, that would be kind of a fun longer term project to have out at the house, because I'm putting a shop together out there.
Oh, and yeah.
So something, you know, when I'm out there, I can just add one little thing here and there. And
I will say that when you have a long-term project that is not at your house, even 4 miles away, it can take multiple years to do. So just be aware.
Noted.
Yeah.
Well, do some research and I'll send you the plans anyway, just so they're sitting all around. Right. You let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
I think you'll have fun with it.
Ultimately. Well, you guys find something to recommend. I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters for supporting the show. Because they're awesome. Because I was thinking about them this morning, and like when I was putting together the show notes, I always have to like go get the newest list of supporters, and it's just really awesome to see people helping out the show and to see the same names over and over and over. And we're just really grateful for the support, especially the people that go above and beyond. That's A Pretty Big Deal Inc., Albers Woodworks, Chad from Mancrafting, Chris McCormick, Michael Menegin, Nick Ryan, Odin Leather Goods, Pete Rondo, Rich at Lone Design, Scott at Daddy Yourself DIY, The New Janky Workshop, Warren Works, and Works by Solo. But also people like Sam Sibulin. Sibulin.
He always picks a name he can't pronounce.
I do. I don't know why. I don't go for the easy one. Like, I should have said Jeff Cooper. Jeff Cooper is also on here, and that's easier to say.
Cuckoo.
Sam, I'm sorry if I butchered your last name, but I'm grateful for the support.
Cooper?
And everybody gets the after show, regardless of what level or how long you've been supporting. And so if you would like to hear the after show, more of us talking about stuff, usually we have more to talk about.
I have another car story to tell you.
Oh, okay. There's other stories and stuff that's in the after show. You can only get that by going to patreon.com/makingit, sign up at any level, and then you'll get a link up in the corner for the after show. Put it in your podcast player, go watch it on YouTube. And also, I was going to mention this today that I haven't said in a long time. They always say, they being the professional podcast people, that if you get reviews on the platform that people listen to, it recommends the show to more people. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but that's what everybody says. So if you enjoy listening to this show at all, actually, I should say, if you enjoy listening to this show enough to give it a 5-star review, go to your podcast player wherever you listen and give it a review. I think that would help us out. It'd be really interesting to try to see if that actually does anything to get the show out to more people, because we would love for more people to listen. So big thanks for the support and for listening and for being here. Do you guys have anything to recommend today?
You know, I was going to recommend Wintergatan. Is that how we say Martin's channel? Wintergatan?
Yeah.
He's just popped up with a new thing. He's 3D printing silicone. I haven't seen it, but I just saw it in my list. And it's funny, I saw it on my YouTube suggested page, and then it just popped up also on Instagram while we've been on the phone, while we've been on the podcast. So check out Martin. And Martin is credited with getting me into the game of printing posters. Because the very first video I did when I started printing the, if it looks straight, it is straight. I printed like 50 of them, and I was just going to like put them on a shelf.
The first one.
That's right. I never in a million years thought of ever selling anything. And Martin wrote me from wherever he lives in the world and said, you have to send me one of those. And I said, I think I said like $20 or something. I couldn't even know what to charge. And he sent me like $200, which was not what I asked for, something like that. But that was very cool. So go check him out. I know he's a fan of all of ours.
There's probably a currency conversion issue there.
Yeah. I got to sit with him at some event. I don't remember where we were, but it was the two of us and a few other people.
Was it in England?
No, it was in the States. Gosh, really? I can't remember where that was. Yeah. What a sweet guy.
Sweetheart.
He's soft-spoken and really passionate about music and instruments and making things. And man, I really enjoyed getting to talk with him.
And if you don't know who he is, when you finally go look him up, you'll say, I've seen him, because everything he's done has gone. A couple of his things have gone absolutely mega viral. It's a man standing at a music making machine.
Yeah. Marble machine. That's what he calls it. Just crazy. Very, very cool. And it looks like from that video, if he's printing in silicone, it looks like it's probably from the Forum Labs. They sent me as part of the, you know, the kit. I don't have the machine yet, but the first thing they sent was a big box of parts printed in all their different materials.
Yeah.
And one of the ones I really wanted to see was the silicone piece. And it's crazy. Like, it just looks like a molded piece of silicone. There's no other, you know, I thought, surely you'll be able to see the layer lines, or it won't feel quite as stretchy. No, it's silicone. Yeah. It's wild. Anyway. David, what you got?
I unfortunately don't have a pick. I went through my history this morning. I couldn't find anything that would be relevant to us. And I know some people have sent some things, but I just haven't had a chance to look.
Gotcha. Cool.
I know a guy that made a boat. You should go look at that.
You know what? I actually am going to put that in my watch later list, because you got me excited.
Two parts. This is a two-part video.
Tell you what, I'll give you one.
Thank you.
Johnny Brooke did a video about why he's selling his dream workshop.
He's out of his mind.
It's an interesting...
He's out of his mind.
it's interesting to see his justification, or reasoning, not justification, his reasoning for it.
He's insane.
And a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude. All right, so I'll give you that one. And then mine is, so a channel I've talked about before is called The Smuggler's Room. And it's a guy named Brian who makes Star Wars themed rooms, like his basement. You know, they've turned it into a Star Wars room. It looks like it's on a ship. And he's been doing this for years. And then he makes all sorts of little props and all sorts of stuff. I've met Brian a couple times. Super nice guy, really passionate about the things that he makes and really positive. He put out a video called The Falcon Bench I Was Supposed to Build. And the title is about the specific thing, but the video is about him basically just, he said out loud a lot of the stuff that I think we've talked about I'm tired of waiting on algorithms and permission and timing and this, and I'm tired of waiting on all the stuff. I just need to make the things that I need to make because they need to be made. And he says it differently, but that's what I took away from it. And it's just a good positive reminder to like, just do your thing, you know? That's what I took away from it. And I really like Brian. So go check him out. Yeah. You guys got anything else for this week? I guess that's a no. Stay warm, everybody. And yes. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.